Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 452, The Master Bug Collection, recorded live on November 13th, 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustorm, and tonight I have a couple of guests on with me to help talk about the initial launch of Halo the Master Chief Collection and talk about some Halo 5 beta stuff as well. But first on the show, we have Alfredo Diaz from IGN. Welcome on the show.
Heyo, thanks for having me.
Not a problem. And we also have Vorlin. I don't know what your actual name is, so we'll just go by that for now.
You can call me Alexander, either way.
All right. So we have them on the show. Thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule to be with us to talk about some awesome Halo stuff, or what should be awesome Halo stuff.
Or not so awesome Halo stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
I guess kind of to kick things off, everyone probably already knows of all the issues that we're having with matchmaking and all the other just random bugs with the Master Chief Collection. And it's kind of annoying, I will say that. I know there's a lot of people that are very frustrated, taking to Twitter, Facebook, whatever other social media they can flame that 343 with. But as far as having stuff actually being fixed, there are kind of a few things that are working. There are a lot of things that still aren't, but they are working on it. We see tweets, I think, what, every 2 hours at least or so?
Yep. Constant barrage of tweets, which is good because they're keeping us updated. You know,
for sure.
I mean, you've got to think, like, come on. Like, this is definitely something that both 343 and Microsoft don't want to happen.
Right.
And it's just an unfortunate mix-up or just an issue or bug or something that's going on right now. And it sucks, man. Something. It sucks because this game, this, like, whole collection is so good. And, like, to be thrown, I don't know. It just sucks that you have to look at it in a different light because of, like, just unfortunate dumb issues that shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah, you just look at kind of everything that's happened with, even there's been a lot of launch titles that have come out for the Xbox One, and there's just been day one issues with some of these games. But then the Master Chief Collection, that's just been hit the biggest, because right now matchmaking is only working for, I would guess, less than 1% of the population that's on searching for games.
10% maybe.
Yeah, and my question is, like, what is the issue here? Like, is it the certification team that's not doing their job? Is it just the developers that are taking on too much? Is it the publishers that are pushing them too hard? Like, what is, where is this happening? You know, where's the bottleneck here? And who knows, man?
Well, because one of those things that you think that is part of the certification process to make sure that on day one, matchmaking works.
Yeah, right? If a developer makes a game, that it works with your system.
For sure.
Exactly.
And I saw it coming. I saw it coming because we got that the people who had the game early.
Mm-hmm.
I think
tons of problems.
Yeah, there were tons of problems, and we got like the final multiplayer. I mean, Dust, you got it what, Sunday, right?
Yeah, and even with trying to get some games on there, even in the same room, we couldn't get Xboxes to connect to each other, which was and strange.
We already had the patch, the final update.
Yep.
By that time, and I was like, man, I don't know, like, how this is gonna, you know, fare out in the wild with everybody, but it can't be good, and of course it wasn't.
Well, and you think that with everyone that had the pre-release for press and whatnot, that they would have seen some of those bugs, but maybe it just wasn't enough on the system to really register as something. And another thing that was going through my head over the past couple of days is, what difference was there in their test server environment, their test Xbox Live infrastructure, that didn't translate over to production?
Yeah.
That's another thing that just kind of boggles my mind. It's like, how did this not translate over? Like, what's the big difference here that it's not working?
Yeah, it was just unfortunate. And I mean, I remember going down to 343 Studios up in Seattle for IGN First, and like we did a lot of like IGN coverage stuff, and it was a good visit because it really made me understand that like they are taking on a lot. Like they're only supposed to make like four of these masks, but then they pushed like for six, and then on top of that, like they're talking about how creating the overall like infrastructure, like the menu system and stuff, was a whole like beast in its own.
Okay.
And when we, which, I mean, it looks beautiful. Like the way everything goes, and you change between different Halos, the different soundtracks come up, and it's just a gorgeous menu system, but it just, you can tell that was taking a lot from them. And then when we were down there recording, there was a lot of things that weren't working. But of course, I mean, at that point, I wasn't too scared because, you know, we see games early all the time, and it's, you know, they stressed it out as well as, you know, developers usually do. And they say, hey, like, they were still putting stuff in, or still fixing stuff. And that's why they're usually scared to show off their games early. But I wasn't worried at that point in time. But then as soon as the weekend leading up, I was like, ugh, man.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that just kind of pointed to them not being ready with how much stuff they were trying to put in last minute with it. And just seeing some of the bugs that you would see at the convention tournaments that they were running, and even with the issues that we saw during the Invitational. And actually, I was talking to some people there, and they said the build that they had was actually a pre-release build. It actually wasn't the final build that they were playing on, which kind of had me a little confused. Yeah, apparently it was a build that was put out 3 weeks ago before that tournament was started. And to have it something that you're still making builds this much in, or this late into the process, after you're shipping a game, just doesn't make sense.
It's unfortunate. And then it's like, all right, we have like what, Spartan Ops coming in December?
Yeah. Well,
it's just like,
It's probably gonna be pushed back now because of all the issues that they're having with the launch. I'm sure those teams that would have been there trying to get Spartan Ops there is now working and trying to get matchmaking. So I would possibly see that get pushed back to January.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see if they're gonna push back the beta even. You know,
that's a separate team.
How much is going on?
That's a separate team. So that would be.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
That wouldn't be affected. Yeah. I don't think.
That's right. I actually read that today. I don't know why I said that. But I mean, this game without bugs, though, it's a masterpiece. I mean, just think of when they fix everything.
When you get
into games, it is fun. Like custom games, matchmaking, even though it's lopsided, like just playing Halo 2 60 FPS again. I mean, it is something, I got to say.
Yeah, it's the Halo you know and love, and it's awesome. But there's just so many like dumb little things.
It hurts.
So many. It's not even like one or two. It's so many things, and it's like, it's grueling.
Right. And at least we're seeing some improvement with all the fixes that they're putting out. But it is something where just the incremental fixes, it's like a short tease. It's like, oh, wait, it doesn't work for some people still. And it's like another tease, like, oh, we have another update. It's still not quite working yet.
Yeah.
And that's some people say they're trying to buy time. But I mean, at least they're doing something, right? Because they're releasing all these tiny updates, even multiple a day. And they do seem to be improving everything a little bit by a little bit. So, I mean, I'm hopeful, you know, but maybe hopefully by the end of this weekend, we're going to have a completely different game.
It's a lose-lose situation for them right now, right? So it's like, if you don't say anything, then you're not fixing the problem. If you say a lot, then if you roll out a bunch of updates and stuff like that, then your updates become less and less, you know, they don't take them as seriously anymore. And it's just, it's unfortunate.
But it is something that, I mean, they are trying to work with it. And I know at the launch party, I don't know how much you saw of it, Alfredo, but I was around a lot of developers, and 10, 11 o'clock are rolling around. There were people making phone calls already. Like Tashi was talking with people like via email, trying to make sure stuff's going on. Dan Ayoub and Bonnie Ross were kind of being kept in the loop of what was going on. They were tweeting. Frankie, I think, was doing stuff. And it was nuts. I mean, it seemed like they were trying to enjoy the party as much as they could, but they had all these issues.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I feel bad for them with how the launch came off, but you would think that with how much was going behind this project that they would have had at least something basic done.
Yeah. And I think it's unfortunate, and it's hard for people who are reviewing the game too.
Yeah.
Well, first off, people who reviewed the game, like IGN, we had a review in progress because there was like, we had updates, even the pre-release, right? We had updates going out to like the last minute, really. And so it's like, well, you know, and we haven't really tested out multiplayer. So that's why we went with the review in progress. Some people gave it scores already when the embargo, like when the embargo was up, which I don't know how you could have done that. But like issues like this makes it really hard for people in the industry to review games, right? Because then for us, like we wanted to give it a really, really high score, but it's like, well, now we kind of have to ding it for that, right? Like,
yeah,
I think at one point we were just debating on giving it a 10. It's like, well, you definitely can't do that because of these issues. Like you have to hold them accountable. Yeah. Like in some sort. And so it was sad because we waited around a little bit and, you know, because we're in contact with them and it was very much just like, hey, like, what is going on? Like, you know, we've got to get this review out. What's going on? Like, what are the issues? Like, what are your guys' plans? And it's unfortunate, but in the end of the day, we just kind of have to ding them for it. But of course, like, it wasn't like take them out to the back woodshed, you know, with a shotgun, but you just got to lower it a little bit because it just doesn't work. A big portion of what Halo is does not work.
And this is what everyone was looking forward to, was being able to go do matchmaking for all five freaking games. And while custom games, it's nice to have that and it's nice to be able to party up still, you're missing a cornerstone piece to Halo, which is matchmaking. And then there's some people that I know that can't even connect to custom game lobbies, can't even do co-op campaign online. And it's just, there's a lot of bugs.
Yeah, and I think what really kind of gets to me, it's like, okay, like the whole issues with like servers and stuff, this is of course is unfortunate, and of course this is not what they want to happen. Who knows what's really going on? But like when you have things like every time you back out of every time a custom game is finished and it like shuffles all the teams, or how it still says -1th, it's like, yeah. What? That's like, come on, someone get in there and just change the text or something. Like, I don't, you know, I don't design games and it might be a little more difficult than that, but it's just like those little things, just like, why was that not like, how'd that slip through?
Well, and that's something that's tiny. That's a tiny coding thing too. And I'm starting to kind of wonder now. Yeah. I'm beginning to wonder now, that content update, what was kind of the real purpose behind it? I understand maybe it was part of delivering multiplayer and some of the extra achievements, but it's like, if they were patching this stuff up until that point, it's probably a lot more than just the achievements and the DLC that they were giving along with that update.
Yeah.
Well, good news. I am playing a game right now, 4v4 Team Slayer, and it took about a minute to find, so that was something.
Yeah, so there's definitely improvements happening, but it sucks because like I was telling this to Vorlin earlier. It's like if you go in as a team, you're gonna get split up.
You get split up. Like they still got split up, but it's 4v4.
Yeah, so you get
there's guests on one team and the actual player on the other team.
So you get split up, gosh. And then it's like, well, I can go into Rumble as a solo. I mean, I'm not gonna go into I'm not gonna go into team solo because then I'm going to rage at my teammates. And then I don't want to go into Rumble because I went into Rumble today during work and it was like 10 player SMG starts on Warlord. And I was like, I don't want to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to really focus on doing that whole LAN party mentality and just go in custom games for a while. You know, the classic Halo style. That's what you had to do back in the day.
Which fortunately, like Halo is definitely one of the games that, like, is really fun to do in custom lobbies.
It is the console game for custom games.
Yeah, for sure.
Thankfully, or else Halo would not be standing right now.
Yeesh. Yeah, it'd be a complete bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So there's a lot of stuff still going on, and Danayub actually put a post out in the forums a little bit earlier, and they were talking about some of the tweaks that they were making to the service, and they also mentioned that they did take out some of the playlists to help kind of funnel people searching for stuff into these playlists to where you could actually get a lobby going. So that seems to be working. Yeah.
Yep. That was a very smart move.
Again, they said they're putting out daily server updates and tweaks, and there's content updates that they're supposed to be coming along to help fix some of the achievement issues with campaign and scoring and timing stuff that people have been running into. Content updates probably going to be coming down the wire at some point. And they have a whole thread up on the Waypoint forums that they're constantly updating. And they also have a FAQ, which I'm guessing they pulled together kind of to help address a bunch of this stuff.
For sure.
But if you guys are looking for matchmaking games, they say just it's going to take anywhere from 15 seconds to about 4 minutes to find a match. So
four minutes.
I know that's like that's like waiting for
that's
infinity.
A recommended time to leave it. And
then... yeah, that's the yeah.
Right.
That's like a good quarter of the match, like an actual match. It's nuts.
Well, almost a half for most of them because time limits are 12 minutes and. Most games kind of end within 8, 9, 10 minutes, so you're looking at half a game right there.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hopefully this all gets resolved soon, though. I mean, I hope
so.
They're working around their clock, and they did say that they have identified what the issue is.
That's
hopefully
good.
They could just get that resolved and patch that up, and everything can get back to normal, or how they should be.
It'd be nice to know what the issue is.
Yeah, right?
That way we can understand it.
Exactly what the problems are. But, yeah.
Right. And then Frankie actually put out a tweet earlier linking to another forum post saying that if you're searching for a game, whenever you're looking at the party lobby, make sure it says in lobby.
It actually has
the additional gray boxes to fill out the number of players for that lobby. And it doesn't say something like my game session or something else.
Which is funny, though, because it would seem like common sense because... When you're trying to search matchmaking, your entire roster still stays there, and it doesn't say searching. You'd think most people would back out, but I guess they're not.
Right.
I mean, I know I did. Like, I knew that before you even posted that.
Yeah, if it doesn't say searching, I'd be like, this doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I also hear issues with matchmaking where people are... At least Ryan McCaffrey was telling me some of the issues that he encountered was gamers were freezing, kind of kicked them out of the game before matchmaking was like when the match was done, and how people would vote for a map and it toss into something, you know, not the map they voted for, or sometimes not even a map that wasn't an option.
That's actually what happened to me today. I searched the Halo 2 Classic
playlist. How does that happen?
And three different Halo 3 maps came up for vote. So we all voted on them and it threw us into a Halo 2 match and then it was a triple header.
I don't get it. How does that, like, programmatically, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Beats me, man. Beats me.
At this point, like, I've gone through all the different stages of emotions with Halo, and I'm just chuckling at this point. Like, I just gotta have fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, I do hope that they get everything resolved quickly. I think within, like, if they don't get this resolved within the first week of launch, then people are gonna go crazy. And apparently, I saw a tweet pop up the other day, like the NeoGraph new thread thing. Apparently Microsoft or 343 is blocking refunds for the Master Chief Collection.
What? I've heard a lot of people who've got their refunds. I didn't know.
I did too, but that was like GameStop. So I'm thinking
I'm hearing a bunch of people for digital, like, you know, you just call in, you get your kind of one free digital refund. That's what I've been hearing.
Ooh. That sucks, man. I think what really is going to hurt the most is, at least for me as a fan, is the fact that like you have so many new people that are going to like experience Halo for the first time, and this is how they're going to experience it. And it's just it's very off-putting, you know?
Right.
I mean, imagine how the Halo community looks right now in the eyes of the COD community too, right?
Oh my goodness, so much ammo for them right now. So much. Yeah, I don't know.
At least we have customs for the most part. I mean, I played with you off Raider last night for about 3 hours, and that was a blast.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, it was just, we were just going at it, and it was fun, for sure, definitely. Yeah. But it just, it sucks that even customs is like, I can get, you know, like... Our lobbies would crash and teams would be all mixed up, and it was like, ugh.
Because we would have to the whole party, you had to restart Halo, what, two or three times last night?
Yeah.
Sometimes you couldn't switch teams. Like, it was nuts. Sometimes on other people's screens, it'd say instead of, we had a 5v5, and some people were like, hey, it just says nine people. It's like, no, there's really 10 of us. So,
yeah. But they're working on fixes. At least we know that much. And they're providing updates on Twitter and their forums and their blog, which is nice to see. But nothing we can really do at this point and except just wait.
Yeah.
I do know that right before this, though, we started our legendary run for the whole campaign. So we're doing co-op all the way through. We're trying to get as many achievements as we possibly can through our co-op legendary run. So we got through the first three levels tonight for Halo CE. We'll get through probably three or four more tomorrow. And we're hoping to get through all four games probably within a week and a half. So that would be fun.
That's ambitious.
I mean, it's not as hard to do on Legendary when you have four people Halo 3 and Halo 4. That's true.
My younger brother, who we freelanced, who we're freelancing at IGN now, his first job was to go through all the Halo campaigns and record the walkthroughs. And he did Halo 2 solo on Legendary.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I was looking at his his Google Doc where he's like marking all the time codes for the deaths, and like some levels is like 70 deaths. And
yeah.
I was like, that's gonna suck to edit, but he got through it. So
Halo 2 is the hardest campaign out of all the games. And primarily because it's long. It has 14 playable missions. It's the longest campaign out of any Halo game.
Yeah, it's a task.
Compared to 9 from Halo 1, 8, no, 9 from Halo 3, and 10 from Halo 4. It's the longest campaign.
It's too much. It's too much, man.
It's a long time.
It's hard. Legendary. I did it once. I'm not doing it again. I've done that.
That's why I'm doing it co-op. That's why we were doing it co-op.
Yeah, if I do it again, it's definitely going to be co-op.
Right. But yeah, we're going to try to find all the skulls, all the terminals, and try to get as many achievements on our first run through, and then we'll probably do another run through for scoring, another run through for time and all that stuff.
Damn.
Just on another note, I mean, I just found another game within a minute. I'm feeling pretty hopeful. Just keep searching Halo 2 Classic, and I keep finding games 5v5.
Yeah, it looks like matchmaking is a lot more consistent. It's just,
latest 10-minute ago updates doing something.
Let me know when the teams are like glued together.
That is the test.
You've got me. Other than that, I'll sit out and wait.
It sounds like they're just trying to get matchmaking to work first.
Yeah. So, the event over the weekend, all this stuff that happened over the weekend.
So it was really fun. I had a blast. I would almost say that my experience there was better than E3, actually.
Oh, wow.
I went to E3 for the first time this year, which was awesome.
This is true. This is where I met you, E3.
Yeah, yeah. And, this weekend was just amazing. The tournament was awesome. There was a lot. The first day, it was all right. It was people trying to get things figured out with the Master Chief Collection and everything. So the gameplay wasn't quite top notch, but Sunday rolled around. That was the day to watch, especially that final series between Strait and Believe the Hype.
Oh yeah. My goodness!
Really good games.
That game 2-3-peat.
It's just there were so many matches that are literally just seconds decided what was like who the winner was, and it was just like oh my goodness, this is too intense.
Well, the final was within 2 seconds.
Yeah,
the last game.
Yeah,
that's right. Which was nuts. That one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
which is heartbreak. It's hard. That's got to be heartbreaking for Strait. Got to be.
Yeah, they were up, and then I think they lost it at the end, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, because three people fell off the map.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I have a lot of issues staying on the map on Lockout in Halo 2 Anniversary. It's that bottom mid to BR1 I have extreme difficulty getting every time. I don't know why. It's just a different jumping system. It's it's not as floaty as the other Halos, right?
I haven't gone and played Halo 2 Classic that much to really get an accurate feel for how it compares, but I would assume they probably tried to make it pretty close to the original.
It's similar to Halo 2. I mean, Halo 3 is I'd say the most floaty out of any. You really float around in that. But yeah, I noticed one thing. If you crouch just as you start jumping, it really keeps you at the ground. So maybe that's my mistake. I'm not sure. I'm just so used to Gandhi hopping around and whatnot, right? So
I usually hit the crouch whenever I'm kind of near the top of my jump. That way it's just,
yeah,
you get the height.
I mean, I try to, but even I do that, and sometimes it just keeps me like right at floor level when I fall off the map. So
got it.
Yeah.
Well, so, they were falling off. That's not where they were falling off. They were actually falling off, I think, more towards back near the sword or something like that. I have to go, or it was either from like around the library or somewhere back there. I don't think it was that jump, but yeah. T-squared fell off twice, and I think Roy fell off once.
Damn.
I'm not surprised. Jumping system's definitely weird.
And I mean, that cost them the game. It honestly did.
Awesome, a tournament.
Yeah.
And to have a team come back and like just have a team win two series, when you gotta only win one, that's rough.
Well, technically three series if you count that last series, two of them, because that last series between them was a combination of two. It was the first to best of five, and then they beat out the first series, and then they played the second series for that. So yeah, they had a three series streak essentially.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, that's awesome to see that there's people that aren't necessarily on the throne of Halo kind of come in and make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually kind of a good sign for competitive Halo going forward, because that means there's actually going to be some good competition. And for me, I was rooting for Optic Gaming because I'm a Pistola fan. So it would have been nice to see the God Squad win, but it's good to see another team come in and actually take it, because that means there's going to be some actual good competition to watch. And just evidenced by that game two having to be repeated three times, the fact that two games were tied in a row, that just shows you how competitive this is actually kind of getting back to, which is awesome.
Yeah, yep. It's nuts.
So that was amazing. Being at ESL headquarters was pretty cool. We got to pick up a few freebies and goodies, which was awesome. You know the little the cat helmets that they had at San Diego Comic-Con, the ones that you could sharpie or paint?
Yeah.
They had those there. They gave away free copies of the game. And certain people got the October loot crates as well.
October loot crates.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And the studio setup was actually pretty nice. Alfredo, like, were you there for the tournament? Okay.
I had to work on getting H5 videos up in time.
Yeah, that was Monday for me. Although I didn't do anything like custom. I just uploaded the B-roll and the VIDOC. Mm-hmm. But
nice.
The studio was, it looked really nice. I'll give it that much. The setup with the chairs and the monitors and everything was pretty cool. But For me, I kind of miss the feel that MLG had back for like 2005 through 2009, where you actually had this stage and you actually had the teams out there where they could like trash talk each other. And you actually had this kind of just this vibe with them being out there, kind of like that LAN party vibe. But they had the center stage, which had a 3x3 screen matrix that had the mainstream on it. And then it had kind of one side that was blue lit, one side that was red lit, and then you had these two big booths in the back where each team was playing. So you had the four for one team with the coach back in one booth, and then one in the others. And while I kind of understand that you don't want the quote unquote cheating aspect of necessarily hearing the other team, it just kind of ruins the feel for how people have grown up with Halo, because you're used to that LAN party environment.
Trash talking.
Yeah, that was one of the things that MLG really kind of helped foster, was that kind of, I mean, and that was part of the game. It was a psychological game.
Definitely. Go watch the Halo 2 trash talk montage. It's basically all Halo 2 combined, all the tournaments.
What? There's a trash talk montage?
Oh, you haven't seen it? Are you kidding?
My goodness.
Halo 2 trash talk montage. That'd be
crazy.
It was on the internet. I watch it almost every week for inspiration. We're talking Gandhi, T-squared, some like their OGs just talking bad crap in Halo 2, and they were so good at it back then. it's something.
They couldn't get by with it today, I think, because Microsoft is trying to market this towards a lot more of the overall Halo audience, so there is going to have to be
there is
language. But you can still trash talk with clean language. It's still possible.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, a lot of these players struggle to keep it PG, especially if you're looking at COD players for MLG. I mean, most of them are, what, 16, 17? You're going to have a tough time keeping a tight leash on those guys.
You sure they're not like 7 or 8 year olds?
Yeah, around that age, you know, somewhere.
So while I do kind of appreciate the layout that they had for the tournament that they had set up there, I do kind of miss those certain aspects that MLG did have, that AGL did have, where it was kind of a little more open environment, where you did have the trash talking and the atmosphere of more of like a LAN party that was just kind of more intense. So, but other than that, it was a pretty good setup. The casting area that they had for Bravo and Golden Boy was actually pretty well done, and the system that they had was really cool. They had the one screen that had the camera POV with the current player POV, and then they had the quads for both teams. But they actually had a touchscreen, so Golden Boy was actually managing the touchscreen, going through all the players, while Bravo was kind of dictating where to go. So they were actually in full control of the entire stream from whose point of views they were doing, which is, I think, a really good idea, because you're used to, like, if you go back to the Halo 4 Global Championships, for example, there were a lot of times when they would cut between players and they would have the animation and they would miss huge moments because of people in the back were trying to compensate for what they were trying to do up front. So I think the setup that they had for the casters for ESL is probably one of the best setups I've actually seen.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Because if you watch the streams, they actually did a very good job of capturing all those big moments. So that was phenomenal. And then the fact that they were able to implement the Astro listen-ins the day after.
Oh, yeah. That was good. I was like,
that was
awesome.
They're
doing listen-ins. Nice.
Yeah, that was very cool, actually. I haven't heard those for Halo in a long time.
I know.
So the launch event was pretty cool.
It was a blast. I had the most fun at that. I'm like on the borderline speechless, just because it was just so awesome getting to see a lot of people there. Some people that I knew from the community, some people that I knew from the studio, and the whole environment was just electric. It was fantastic, and it was my first big Halo launch party, really. And it just blew it out of the water.
Yeah, it was. I think it was smart. They showed Halo, and then they let people get hands on. I think that was definitely like a smart thing for them to do, because I feel like the majority of the people who have played Halo 5 kind of defend it more. And then they showed Halo Nightfall. I don't know how I feel about it. It's still the first episode, so I can't really judge it yet. But like, it felt like, I don't know. Maybe I expected too much of the CG and the quality, but it felt like it's something you'd see on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, actually, I agree with that. That sounds about right.
And I was like, I kind of expected a lot more from this. And then I was completely done from when, like, after the point where, well, first off, like the sword battle underneath the sewer with Locke and that Spartan, I was like, Locke and that elite. Sorry.
Right.
I was just like, he just had a pistol and the elite had a sword and he got out of that like close quarters. Wait, what?
That was one thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That felt just not right. And then
that felt weird. And then the other thing was the way he was holding the pistol. Like whenever you're out there, your arm is straight out. You're having it where you're almost looking down the sights. But he was like, he had it like his elbow was at 90 degrees. He was like being like super calm.
Yeah, it was
it's
weird.
Like
it's trying like, no-scope, you know,
trying to hip fire. But I mean, those are kind of small things compared to, I guess, kind of the overall story that they're trying to portray. But there were certain things that I mean, I'm kind of right there with you. It just feels like it didn't set well. So I'm going to wait for the other episodes to come out before I kind of fully judge the series as a whole, but to have that to already be kind of reserved just from the get-go isn't a very good start.
I don't know, and going back to just the small bit of action, like when he jumped on the elite and he was just shooting to get his shields off, I was like, what? Like, and then I was completely done when, like, after the Elite fell and he threw up, like, the canister and, like, the chemical went out and, like, it affected everybody. Mm-hmm. And then, like, immediately afterwards, they're like, all of them are just riding an elevator in the mall, like, going upstairs. And I was like, oh, okay, like, you've taken me out of this completely.
Yeah, there was just, like, certain emotions that you would think after an incident like that would be happening, the certain kind of pandemonium. And mm-hmm. like I was kind of fine up to the point until they got into the sewers and like, okay, the acting in this doesn't seem that good at the moment, but I'll let it go. And then all the things with Macer, it seemed like she just knew everything right at the right time. I'm like, that doesn't really happen. I mean, I can understand that someone just is being super smart and maybe overhearing the conversation, but it's like they intentionally put her in situations like, I know this, I know what you need. It's like, that doesn't usually happen. That doesn't make sense. You know?
And what a plot holes, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And it seemed like they were trying to set up stuff really quickly, which I can understand, but it just didn't feel like... I feel like it was just a hodgepodge of stuff. It's like, okay, we need to put this in there. We need to put this in there. We need to put this to just get the story laid out. And it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Just thrown at you. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, hopefully the other episodes really pick up the slack, you know?
I hope so. It'd be nice. And then, well, actually what we saw was episode 1 and 2.
Oh, so, nice. I have episode 2. I haven't watched it yet. I'm kind of just not too like excited to jump in and just watch it
yet, but... I actually haven't watched any of it yet. I've just been nodding and smiling.
Well, for me, yes, for some reason
I watched a tiny bit. I skipped through the first one. So
for some reason for me though, whenever I try to view it through the Halo channel, whenever I try to start that video, it always goes to breaking down the map on Zenith. So there's something wrong, and apparently I put out a tweet about it, and apparently some other people are getting issues where they go to play that and it's playing a completely different video. So there's something wrong with the whole being able to play Nightfall through the Halo channel.
Oh man.
And then I tried launching it through the game and also did the same thing, and so then the terminal videos I don't think are quite working right either, so I don't know.
Pile that onto the list of issues.
Yeah.
All right. Is it good? Is it better?
I thought the production for episode 2 was better than the first one.
Okay. All right.
Did you not see it while you were there?
No, I didn't go. I was back in SF. I do have the ability to watch 2 right now. I just haven't had the time.
Got it. It's good to know.
It's
fleshed out a lot better.
Okay. All right. I have hope. I have hope.
Yeah. I'm just kind of like the way it got kickstarted. It feels off. Like I was fine with Halo 4 Forward into Dawn. That opening was fine for me, but this is just like, this doesn't feel Halo. And I was talking to some other people that were there too, and they kind of felt the same thing. It was like, this isn't what I would expect from a Halo TV or film production. It doesn't have the same kind of atmosphere.
We're talking about Spielberg here too, right?
No, this is Ridley Scott.
Oh, what happened to Spielberg? Was that a different thing?
Yeah, that's something that's coming out next year.
Oh, okay. Fuck, man, I'm really messed up.
There's a lot of Halo stuff going on right now.
Lots. I mean, and then there's Spartan Strike, which is coming out soon for Windows 8.1.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This is true.
Lots of stuff. I mean, there was the book. There was, like, a bunch of other things. Yeah, there's lots of Halo stuff out, but the main thing right now isn't really working with Halo the Master Chief Collection.
Back to 10-hour wait times in matchmaking right now.
Yikes.
It's not good.
The inconsistencies of the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. But aside from that, though, I haven't seen any of the new Halo 2 anniversary campaign yet because we're basically going through it in order. So we're doing Halo 1, which I didn't know that they implemented the instant switch for Halo 1 anniversary. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
For sure.
That was pretty cool. I will say I do enjoy the mass for Halo 2 Anniversary. I'm still trying to get used to the sticks on the Xbox One controller because it just feels so different compared to the 360.
Very different, yep. But you will like them better in the end. When I go back to a 360 controller, I hate it. They're so wide, they're so slow, there's so many things wrong with it. That just, it bugs me.
Yeah, I had to, for a graph, the Call of Duty graphics comparison, I had to go back to 360 and PS3, and I just wanted to shoot myself.
Ouch.
I was like 360, it feels so weird, but still all right. And then I went PS3, and I was like, no.
I mean, the 360 controller is still a pretty nice controller.
No, it's still pretty nice. But I was like, oh, okay, this feels... When I picked it, I was like, whoa, this is weird. And then I went to PS3, and I was like, oh my God, I hate my life right now.
Yeah, banging the thumbs. Oh, yeah,
don't even talk to me about PlayStation controllers. Those thumbsticks drive me nuts.
You're high-fiving yourself. Or high-thumbing yourself.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but no, the launch party was great. They had... they had some giveaway bags, which I didn't even know that they were doing, and I didn't get a chance to get one. But luckily, someone that did actually gave me the shirt that was in it because it was my size and not their size. So I actually got that. Oh, and another thing that they had at the Invitational, they had these little goodie bags too, and there was the the Halo Championship Series shirts that you might have seen some people wearing. So. Mm-hmm. They had those shirts, they had some Mega Bloks figures, and they also had the little booklet with all the map tips. So that was in there as well.
Connor was telling me about that, and I was like, wow, that actually sounds really cool. And he was saying that there's actually like really helpful tips.
There are, and it's actually pretty nice. There's usually like 3 or 4 sections in there kind of talking about different areas in the map that you want to kind of look out for. And it just gives some... It's not like in depth like you would think from a strategy guide or something like that, but it's nice quick tips that you can actually use. And we'll actually be giving that away here because I ordered the game limited edition one that has the steel cover and also has another one of those in there. So we'll be giving one of those away here. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do it just as a Twitter giveaway, but I have enough stuff on me to actually host like some kind of tournament and have those as kind of prizes. So we may actually be doing a tournament whenever issues with the Master Chief Collection gets resolved.
Resolved, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, well, let me know.
Oh no, Borland already won. I'm done. I'm done.
We haven't done a tournament in a while, so it'd actually be nice because I do have a bunch of extra stuff to actually just host one and give some stuff away. I have posters from RTX that, and then posters from PAX that are signed by some of the people that were there, some extra stuff. We have a couple copies of the Master Chief Collection will actually be given away because we have extras. So I think a tournament is going to probably be a way for us to kind of help give some of that stuff away. So in the December time frame or the January time frame, watch out because I think we'll be doing a tournament pretty soon.
Damn. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Now the giveaways.
But the party was great. They had some Halo 5 Guardians multiplayer there, which Alfredo, I know you got a chance to play. Vorlin, I don't know if you've played it.
No.
So
I have seen some of the the videos that got released for it. And as a competitive player, at first I was a hater going into it. And then after watching some of those videos, I'm actually quite hopeful it's going to be a very competitive Halo. And it's, I mean... Of course, people like that guy in the chat mentioned, some people just hate on Sprint, but it's kind of a fact that these days, it's kind of part of almost every FPS out there on console. So you just got to work with it. And I actually really do like the kind of Call of Duty. I mean, because they did it first recently, the whole evade thing in midair and all that, it's going to add a whole new skill component. There's going to definitely increase the skill gap. And that's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, and I know from a lot of the stuff that you were mentioning, there was a lot of kind of hate out there when the first stuff was coming out. I know, not to call them out or anything, but Team Beyond, there was a lot of people that were not happy with what was going on with that.
Yep.
But I know from playing it, I was at the New York event last week, and for the Sprint alone, I don't know if it's the solution, but their implementation of not being able to recharge shields while you're sprinting actually... forced me to not sprint.
I love that. I love that. Absolutely love it.
And as part of the write-up that I did for our coverage, one of the things I mentioned was I had to kind of, in an instant, turn using Sprint from using it all the time to actually making it an offensive tool instead of a defensive tool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually quite a bit of balancing that 343 is looking at, and they also have the pro team there, which you kind of, I think some people tend to forget that there are other people that have played competitive Halo in the past that are testing these things, making sure that they're balanced out, making sure that no one's getting a really unfair advantage. And one of the things that Quinn was kind of talking about when I was at the New York event was they're looking to kind of help reestablish that skill gap. And if you look at a bunch of the different kind of core Spartan abilities now, which is, if you watch the Viaduct, it's kind of like that fourth class that they're trying to implement. So on top of the gun, grenades, and melee, they're trying to add these Spartan abilities that everybody has. It's actually a lot to manage.
No kidding. Yeah.
There's a couple of them I'm not personally a fan of. I think the Spartan charge and the ground pound, I'm still kind of on the fence mm-hmm. about. But mm-hmm. the thruster pack, I'm
oh yeah
kosher.
That's
with
awesome.
The infinite sprint with the no shield recharge if you're sprinting. I like that idea. I like the fact that they have the stun timer actually visible now. That's actually a really good indicator. So I really like that. The clamber is awesome. I really like that. The stabilize is a personal favorite of mine because I'm usually the one with a jetpack. So whenever I was playing, Breakout, I would grab the BR and then I would stabilize and I'd get pot shots from across the map.
Nice. I mean, I know. I mean, a lot of people are upset about it, but I mean, you have the Master Chief Collection and you got to think that like, nowadays, people's attention spans are so short, and like games, like I don't know, almost
games kinda, come and go. Yeah,
yeah, games kind of come and go, and sprint's just a new standard, and it's just something that you kind of just have to adapt to. You know, I mean, if you're thinking about it, like the general masses of like FPS players on consoles want sprint, and it's just I don't know, you kind of get to the point where you kind of have to realize like this is the way. The standard is now, right? And you kind of have to.
You can't always cater to the competitive. Like,
you gotta evolve, and you gotta just keep pushing forward with what you believe in, and this is what they believe in. And of course, there's some things like the smash and the charge, which I feel like it will need some tweaking, But I mean,
right?
I don't know. It's just difficult. I'm like torn between the two, but getting my hands on it, like. When I first sat there and they were like, oh, like smart scoping, which is pretty much ADS and all of this, I was like, hell no. I was like, I'm gone. Like I'm leaving. Yeah. And then I played it and I was like, okay, like this still feels like Halo at its core. And when people were asking me like, how was it? And I was like, well, it's not good. It's not bad. It's just weird. It's different. But, I know, man, it's kind of, you get more hands on time. I'm just torn at the moment.
Well, there's that, and you also have to think about, from a developer standpoint, they're really looking to kind of push the game forward. It's not something that you just want to be stagnant and just rehash the same thing over and over and over again, and that's something that mm-hmm. Call of Duty did for a while, and while it kind of attracted an audience, it just wasn't interesting. It wasn't anything new, and so you take a look at what 343 is doing. They're trying to innovate on something that is pretty well established with Halo. And they're trying to get it to where it's still something fresh and it's still something that kind of fits within the universe.
Yeah.
And you look at the stuff like Infinite Sprint, Thruster Pack, and you think that a lot of this, that kind of stuff is fictionally already set within the universe. And same thing with the Smart Scope, which a lot of people at first reactions just saying that a lot of people were very upset with. I think a lot of people have calmed down since then, but there was a lot of negative reaction to having that Smart Scope because was like ADS.
Yeah, and that was my initial reaction too. And then when I was actually playing, I was more like, well, this seems more useless than anything else because of de-scoping, right? And so. There's only very few situations where I found it to be like really useful. Like with the AR, for example, if someone was like, you know, like pretty like mid, but pretty far away in terms of range and, they weren't looking at me, then yeah, I'd kind of like smart scope, but the minute I'm not gonna get into a firefight while smart scoping because I'm just gonna instantly get de-scoped. So it wasn't anything that was as bad as I thought it would be.
No, and it the quickness of hopping in and out of the scope is still feels very quick like Halo, but I know for some of the weapons there it doesn't quite feel the same way. I don't know if the zoom is the same as it was before, but I didn't feel a really impedance in my gameplay. It felt that I was still kind of playing Halo.
Mm-hmm.
For the Halo 5 Guardians, I think it's just one of those things where people really need to try it before you actually kind of knock it.
Yeah, for sure.
And, I mean, you can say that with a lot of games, though. I mean, there's definitely lots of things that people are going to be trying, and especially with 343, they kind of want to move Halo in a direction that is going to kind of set up this arena shooter stuff, and that's what they're trying to really do is kind of help add new things there that kind of helps reestablish that skill gap, that's kind of helps keep that competitive nature with Halo, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things that they've done with the Fair Starts, with having the Spartan abilities is universal across everybody that plays. And it, I mean, just give it a chance, and if you don't like it, then it's something that the reason they're having this out this early is so that they can get feedback, that they can get community support or mm-hmm. constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
Yeah, completely get that. That's true.
For sure. Yeah, just like you're saying, again, having those pro players there is definitely going to help out. As like, even when the game launches, they'll still be there to kind of tweak this. You know, maybe this isn't working out for competitive or, you know.
Right. And if you're thinking about the competitive team actually working on this stuff, they're going to be looking to make it balanced to make sure that it is kind of that competitive mindset and that the skill gap's kind of maintained. So it's not something that they're just completely in it for just making money with 343. I mean, they're passionate about Halo. They always have been. So if they're working on this and you have any kind of like respect for them as pro players, then kind of give them the benefit of the doubt that they're actually making a game that's going to be worthy of a competitive title.
Right.
Or at least give it a try.
Yeah.
And if you want something that's older, like older style Halo, then go play it. I mean, nothing's stopping you from playing it other than the fact that there might not be as many people on there. But if you don't want change, then stick with a game that doesn't change, if that's really your concern. Otherwise, developers are always looking to innovate. They're looking to kind of push a brand forward. They're not looking to just be stagnant. So hate to break it to you, but for everyone that doesn't want change, you're not going to get that with studio developers.
That's just the way of life. Like, yeah. Are you sticking with your Motorola Razr like flip phone right now? No, like you changed. And like, please, please, can people stop saying, oh, they took this from Destiny, they took this from COD. Like,
yes.
They've been developing this and like discussing this, and these decisions were made like a long time ago. Yeah. So it's not something I was like, oh, you know, they COD announced, you know, this in multiplayer like 3 months ago. It's like, all right, let's just implement it to the game. It's like, no, it's not that simple. It takes a very long time. That is not a valid argument or statement or whatever. Please stop.
Yeah. Well, I put a tweet out about that. I'm like, whoever is comparing Halo Destiny, just stop. Just don't do it. Don't do it. People are going to do it anyways, but it's just one of those things. I mean, it's like Halo and COD. It's been the classic battle, and now it's going to be Halo and Destiny.
Yep.
Back to Halo and COD right away, though, with the way Destiny's going.
Oh, yeah. I'm not... Yeah, people know my views on Destiny. But someone mentioned in the chat Spectator mode, which is huge for Halo 5. It's something that I've wanted in Halo for a very long time, and I'm happy to see that they're actually implementing some kind of spectator mode. And I actually got a message from Josh Holmes earlier today, and I was asking about what kind of limit there was for spectator mode, and apparently there is no limit on how many people can be watching a game at any one time.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I feel it's important in a lot of ways. It's kind of necessary, you know, because whether you like it or not, like the competitive like leagues and all the competitions and stuff like that and the tournaments, like that's what really kind of gives games like, you know, a longer tail than they usually would have, you know?
Right. And
so we're talking, sorry to interrupt, but about like within the game, Halo 5, watching other like games going on. So like kind of like what Counter-Strike is doing.
Yeah. So what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to launch up Halo 5 Guardians. There'll be a place where you could go select one of your friends that are online. If they're in the game, you can actually go spectate them. And the spectator mode is going to be done in such a way where you can watch them lifetime. You can rewind a game. You can fast forward up to lifetime. You can go free fly around the game live.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a quick question about that, though. are they actually going to be like dead set live? Because otherwise, technically, you could have somebody in a party chat calling out where everybody is kind of so, thing. You know, you could be spectating from them. So, because when you watch Counter-Strike, like if you go in-game, they have all their big tournament games. You can actually go within Counter-Strike, go watch it live, but it's still delayed about two rounds. So that way there's no way of somebody, you know, cheating or whatnot. So I'm curious if they're going to be, you know, have the intel to put that in there.
So I actually asked him that question when I was interviewing him a couple days ago. And if anyone wants to go hear the interview, we actually posted it last night. It's up on our website and it's on the iTunes feed as well. But basically what he said was that there's just going to be some inherent lag time to spectator mode, but that is something that I would want to say they're probably actually thinking about, but whenever I talked to him about it, it seemed like it wasn't something that was necessarily something he immediately thought of, because it was more like that, oh, that's an interesting thought idea.
Yeah.
That kind of that he expressed. So it is something that I did bring up, and it sounds like that from the perspective of just how they're implementing the spectator mode, there is going to be just a little bit of a delay because it's using the dedicated server backend to actually cache the game and then stream it down to the game engine on your console. And they said they'll kind of mess around with the settings as the beta goes on, and if they need to kind of alter those times a little bit, that they can, and that kind of stuff. But yeah, So another thing to the spectator mode is that they said it's going to be a basic spectator mode, which kind of implies that when the release comes out, there's going to be an advanced spectator mode, which I'm guessing would be a little more integration maybe for tournament organizers, for streamers to actually have a little more control over stuff. Maybe and this would be my hope, is that you can actually place camera points, like, you know how you can do the initial loadout cameras? Maybe have camera points that you can forge in and basically have those as shortcut cameras that you can basically direct within the game. That'd be cool.
That would be really awesome. Yeah.
But for the beta alone, it's just going to be something as simple as you go to your friend list roster. If they're in a game, you can go spectate them. It launches up the engine with that map, and then the dedicated server will stream down the game information. You can rewind, go to the latest lifetime, and you can free cam around it as well.
What about Twitch views, though?
I said the same thing, actually.
I was like, what about Twitch views?
I know.
Well, you would just have to live with it. That's an awesome feature, though, definitely.
No, it's something that I've been wanting for a while, and I think it'll be great to really have that in there. And I'm going to assume there's still kind of a place for Twitch, because there's a lot of interaction that you have with Twitch that you don't necessarily get from just a spectator, because you do have the kind of interactive element for talking with your fans, checking the Twitch stream, and being able to throw up all the graphics and stuff like that. So I think there'll still be a place for Twitch, but spectator mode will be a little more specific to maybe doing stuff with tournaments, maybe doing stuff where, like, if someone's doing I don't know if it would, like, maybe when the final game comes out, if they're doing like a speedrunning set where you can actually come in and kind of watch their tactics or something like that. But I think there's still kind of be a place for Twitch to exist within spectator mode existing for Halo 5.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like I was saying, just really exciting stuff to even, you know, include that.
Mm-hmm. Compared to some of the other stuff,
I don't even think Call of Duty has like an advanced spectator. Like, I know they have a spectator mode, obviously, but it doesn't sound quite as advanced as what this is going to be.
So I know for Black Ops, they had the thing where you could switch through all the different POVs of players, and they had it where you have the scoreboard for something like that. So the one that they had for Black Ops was actually from being able to just do it on the console. Yeah. It was really good. I'm excited to see what their advanced Spectre mode for Halo 5 Guardians would be. That'd be pretty awesome. But we have that coming down the pipeline. We talked about the Spartan abilities a little bit. The three maps, the two kind of normal Slayer type maps is Truth, which is a Midship remake. They actually brought Midship into the Halo 5 engine, and then they updated it in place.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But to me, it feels pretty different just because it's a lot more open. There's a lot more cubby holes because of the clamber, and they're trying to adjust for the Spartan abilities in there. So it definitely has a different feel to it. It feels a lot more open, but it looks freaking pretty.
Nice.
It really does. And then the other...
Yeah, that one kind of looks a bit like Zealot, too, as well, I noticed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a mixture, it seems like.
In a way, it is, just from kind of how certain elements of the map evolved. I definitely think with the bridge in the middle, it's now a bridge instead of just a floating platform. I think that's kind of very iconic to Zealot. But if you look at the map, just the structure of it, you could definitely tell that it's based off Midship. And Zealot was kind of made off of Midship initially as
that's
well.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But and then the other map is Empire, which is the big skyscraper one with the kind of industrial themes in there. And that map was actually my favorite. It has nice small rooms that you can kind of get in close quarters combat with, but there's also long lines of sight, and with the power weapon with the power weapon being the sniper on there, it's actually a really good map. Although the default control scheme that was hard to play with.
There's definitely a lot going on with the controls. When you pick it up, it's just like, okay, this is because usually when you pick up like the controls for a Halo game, it's just kind of natural and you just feel bonded with it. But this, I felt a little more disjointed than anything. I was like, whoa, okay, so what buttons are doing what here? Like, what's going on? And there's a lot to it, like a lot.
Well, now there's a dedicated button for the thruster pack. That's X.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all the other buttons that have been on there before, which is still, it needs to be on there. And grenade switch is still the freaking D-pad. for the default scheme, if that's what you're rocking. But for the most part, the Empire was probably my favorite. I had a lot of fun with it. Definitely utilized the thruster pack a lot on that map. I got into battles really quick, and I probably escaped from 2-on-1 and 3-on-1 encounters quite a bit using the thruster pack. Sadly, I was the best person there playing.
Yeah. That's always how it is at the review events, though.
Yeah, the community guys just wreck, and then all the media guys, no offense, Alfredo, but I know you play well, so you're kind of the exception to the rule, but a lot of the media guys come in and just like, they're okay.
Oh, no, they like can't aim to save their lives, to be honest.
No, not really.
Like, I'm not good at Halo, but I mean, like, my God, like, they make you look like an all-star.
Yeah, exactly. So, that map was a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to all of them in the beta. But so sorry, I kind of jumped ahead for some people in the chat. The sword that's on Truth is called the Prophet's Bane. It's a legendary weapon, which they didn't exactly expand upon too much, but likely to see other legendary weapons in the game. And it actually has some special characteristics compared to the energy sword that we would normally see in like Halo 3 or Halo 4 or Halo 2, and that is whenever you are holding it, you have a little bit increased movement speed, and your melee distance is actually a little bit longer, too.
Damn.
Yeah.
The sword's already brutal to have those attributes.
I know.
But then again, you could, like, dash backwards, so we'll see. We'll see if it needs tweaking or not.
I think it'll need tweaking. I think it's a little OP in its current state. But then again, that's only me playing an hour and a half and playing against noobs. So
right,
it could be something that's all right, but I just feel that giving that advantage for a weapon like that that's already kind of overpowered with the lunge is a little risky to take, but again, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Prophet's Bane is one of those new weapons, and we'll probably see I would guess we'll see another one in the beta. The stuff that they were showing off is just what they're initially releasing with the beta, and they're planning to add some more stuff on. So we got to see three maps. We got to play Team Slayer and this new mode called Breakout. And all they had was UNSC weapons. So I'm assuming there's going to be some Covenant weapons in there for the beta. So we definitely didn't get to see everything that they're having for the beta, but what we got to see was what they're kind of launching with. But yeah, let's talk about Breakout. Because that was fun. I don't know about you, Alfredo, but I had a lot of fun with that.
It's a blast. It is a blast. Anything, whenever you have just like survival like that, it's always fun. And it was on a good map to have it on too. Like, I feel like they kind of made the right choices in terms of map and then applying the mode onto that one. And it was good. And I know, what more can I say, but it was just a lot of fun matches. And then just having, you know, when you have that like 1v2 at the end and you have people, everyone's just watching you, and that's very interesting. And it was a blast though.
Yeah.
Best of five rounds. That game type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so what do you think of it kind of being on the outside, not having played it? What's kind of your initial reactions to Breakout and kind of having the paintball arena style type maps for that?
To me, looks very competitive. Like the rest of Halo 5, there's still what people are going to hate on everything, you know, every little aspect of these games. But, you know, bringing that kind of search and destroy almost aspect with, like you said, the paintball kind of arena, it's going to really provide some interesting games. I'm just excited to see it and excited to play it.
Cool. I think that's what the 343 is definitely wanting to hear.
Yeah.
It's definitely geared towards competitive nature. That's what they said they were trying to really focus on with the arena shooter stuff. So that's one of those things that I think we'll see a little more expansion on from the beta, because that is what they're kind of trying to focus on, is the arena style shooter that they're really gearing for Halo 5. And there's going to be some of the other multiplayer stuff in there. It's not that they're exclusively looking at arena, but this is something that they're really trying to focus on and really kind of build out for a new kind of cornerstone for Halo. So we'll see how that turns out.
New stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see how the community responds.
Just include the same old game types.
Yep.
Depends on who you're talking to. Apparently.
Well, for the people that actually care about the franchise and want to see it progress forward, I think we can agree that seeing new stuff in here and actually seeing them try some of this stuff is actually a step in the right direction. And I think with Breakout, it's a lot of fun. It's going to be interesting how it kind of feels from a spectator sport, because there's going to be a lot of situations where, even though it is highly intense and competitive just from playing it, you have people that are dead. You'll have probably long stretches where it's 2-2, 1-1, 1-2, stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out. Not necessarily
for sure.
Only from competitive perspective, but also as a spectator sport.
I mean, yeah, seeing some pro player clutch some 1v2 with a sniper or something is going to be like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
Something you never seen in Halo.
Another thing that I don't know if you've picked up on is that whenever you are playing in this Breakout game mode, you have less health and less shield. So you actually get taken out a little bit quicker than you normally would. And it actually makes for some really adrenaline pumping moments, because you get, I mean, initial grenades, if you're standing pretty close or on top of a grenade, you'll instantly die instead of just getting shields taken out. You, from what I could tell, your health is probably about 85% of what it normally is, your health and shields. So could
be like a 3-shot instead of a kind of 4-shot, or
pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it forces a lot more teamwork. It forces a lot more coordination, and it really kind of fosters a competitive nature to actually control the map, control the weapons, and all that stuff. So it was intense. It was a lot of fun.
I completely agree. Yeah, I don't know. My overall thoughts are it's different, but I like it. Yeah, overall, I like it. So I just need to play more of it.
Yeah. But yeah, so we actually had a show talking with some of the guys from Ready Up Live for all the stuff that we kind of experienced and what we thought about it. So if you want to go listen to that, it's episode 450. that we talked about, or 450 or 451, I can't remember which number it is, that we actually talked about Halo 5 Guardians in detail, and there's some other stuff that we talked about in there. But I'm sure IGN has some stuff as well, so you can check that out also. But all in all, Halo 5, I think people are really going to enjoy it, and I would definitely say try it before you knock it, especially for every little aspect of it. And hope that Halo, the Master Chief Collection, gets better.
Yeah. I mean, well, eventually.
The matchmaking has actually improved a lot. I mean, I've already said it before, but I played about 5 games while we've been talking. So
good.
I mean, that's something, you know?
Okay. But are the teams glued together, or is that still an issue?
It's still an issue. I am seeing a guest on one
progress.
Team and the main guy on the other. So,
yeah,
you know,
slow, painful
step by
progress.
Step, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although in the past Halo games, it has been that if teams are, or if a party needs to be split, you will see guests on the other team. Although I know that's not necessarily an excuse right now, but it's not something that hasn't happened before.
Yeah, well, exactly. Okay.
I guess I don't play enough matchmaking on the other ones to know that.
But yeah, we're going to have some more updates to the Master Chief Collection, hopefully. I mean, I would hope by the next week or so everything gets resolved for the most part. That'd be nice to see.
For sure, yeah. I imagine it will. I mean, it can't be too much longer.
And especially if they finally identified what the issue was, hopefully it's something that they can actually focus on getting fixed and not really delay anymore on that.
Yep.
Since we last talked on the podcast, there's been some news articles that have been popped out. The last bulletin, we actually wrote a post regarding the skulls and the Lazo playlist on there. So if you want to check that out, definitely head on over there. There's a total of 37 different skulls in the game that range across all the campaign missions. And then they actually have a detailed breakout of what skulls are going to be active per campaign. So if you're interested in doing the laser runs and going for those achievements, and you can actually see all the gold skulls that are required for all those runs. And that's on the bulletin from last week. And I haven't seen the bulletin this week come out yet. I'm thinking that they're probably just focusing on the launch bugs. So we may not get a bulletin until next week. And if that's the case, then we'll just kind of talk a little bit more about it next week. But in shows to come, we are actually going to have Certain Infinity on to help talk a little bit about Forge and discuss more about some of the map design with some of the team from over there. We're going to have Golden Boy on the show either the week after or the week after that, I think.
Nice.
And we have some other people lined up as well to be on the show. So it's going to be good.
Sounds good.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about for the next month or so. Hopefully they'll fill it enough until we get to Halo 5, and then we'll probably have more people on to talk about it. But if you guys haven't checked out our coverage of Halo 5 Guardians, then please head on over to our website, podtacular.com. I think we had about 10 articles posted at midnight just from a bunch of stuff that is new and added to the sandbox. And we had an interview with Quinn Del Hoyo. That's up there. An interview with Josh Holmes. And then, again, there's episode 451, which was our podcast with Ready Up Live, talking about our full impressions of the multiplayer beta. So go ahead and check that out. Alfredo, anything you want to plug of yours?
No, just keep supporting Dustin and Podtacular, man. He's doing some good stuff, and he's a good guy. That's all I could say. I stream stuff on Twitch, so twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays to see horrible Halo gameplay, but the occasional like early release of stuff. So yeah,
awesome. Vorlin, anything for you?
Not much. Just kind of reiterate what he said. You know, Podtacular is great. Keep listening on there, fans. And I mean, yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, go ahead @Vorlin. But other than that, nothing else.
Cool. Well, thank you everyone for tuning into the live stream. We appreciate you guys being here. For those that are listening to iTunes, we do our podcast live normally at 8:30 p.m. on Thursdays. That's Eastern time. And very important on the Eastern time. Granted, everything is back to normal. We will be resuming our Tactical Tuesday game nights, which happens on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll be hopping into matchmaking, hopefully by next week. So if you guys are looking for people to play with, then definitely drop on by. We'll have some lobbies running, and I have a feeling with it being a new game, we'll probably have multiple lobbies running. So just make sure you pay attention to our Twitter and our website, and we'll give you all the details on who's hosting what and when. So definitely make sure you guys are checking that out. And make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitch, all that fun stuff. And if you guys have anything that you want to send us regarding funny stories or just random moments that you have with the Master Chief Collection or anything else that's Halo related, then feel free to drop us a line, submissions@podtacular.com, or you can call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and leave us a Halo-related message. Something that we've done in the past, distant past the Podtacular, was we had a segment called Tales from the Foxhole, where we would have your stories told on the show, and sometimes we'd, for the voicemails, we'd play those on the show, and you guys would get to hear your stories on live broadcast. So we would like to be doing that again, so hopefully as things get better with the Master Chief Collection, as issues get resolved, then hopefully you have those awesome moments, and we would love to hear about those. So please consider sending those our way whenever you get a chance. And to wrap things up, please make sure you check out the podcast network. That is thepodcast.com. It's our sister network of podcasts, including the podcasts of Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast, and How to Murder Time and Work in Progress. So make sure you guys check those out if you're looking for other gaming podcasts to get involved with. And with that said, I want to give another huge thanks to Alfredo and Vorlin for stopping by tonight. Really appreciate you guys talking about the unfortunate situation that's going on with the Master Chief Collection, talking Halo 5.
But thanks for having us.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Looking forward to playing with you guys online, and hopefully at some point we'll have you guys on again in the future.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's go.
So everyone for listening, thank you for tuning in. This has been episode 452, and we will see you next time. Keep on fragging launch bugs.